1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. And those of you who listen to this program for any length of time know that I'm a tequila drinker. And up to 40% of the firms making Mexico's fiery tequila may halt production because of a chronic shortage of their main raw ingredient, the cactus-like agave plant. I don't know if you've ever seen the agave plant. I've been to Mexico. And why did I lose that call? Okay, I thought we had a guest on the line here. The 40% of the agave plant is apparently their 40% of the firms making Mexico's fiery tequila may halt production because they don't have the agave plant. And one of the reasons why they don't have the agave plant is because it is a plant that's in short supply for whatever reason. I don't know if they had enough rainfall or if they had too much rainfall. If you've ever seen it, it's like a big spiny thing, kind of a big, sharp, spiny cactus that sticks straight out of the soil. And the growth in world consumption of tequila is threatening tequila production in the next few years. People are saying 30 to 40% of the firms may close down. Agave, a blue cactus-like plant, has soared in value in recent months as world tequila demand rocketed past supply. Once a low-class spirit, tequila has now become more expensive in Mexico than mid-range whiskeys, and tequila makers have hired extra guards to patrol their fields against thieves. Supply is unlikely to recover quickly as the agave plant needs up to 10 years to mature. So you guys are drinking too much of my drink. Somebody better cut back, and it ain't going to be me. Dave Oliva is on the line. He is of Mexican-American heritage. He's joined us to talk about the agave shortage on the line from Los Angeles. Dave, how are you doing?
Real good, Phil. How are you?
Good. And I know you're listening to the show?
Yes, I am. I love the program, and I enjoy the show immensely.
Tell me a little bit about this. There is an agave shortage?
There is an agave shortage. It's had to produce the liquor and...
Okay, well, we've lost our caller. That's it, man. That was the problem we were having at the beginning of the show, is we got no phones. And apparently, our TELUS is completely... We can't use it. Well, I know what we could do. We could ask people, how much tequila do you drink a day? Call in with that, or what's your favorite tequila? But I don't really want to do that because it's not that I'm selfish. I don't think it's because I'm arrogant. It's just that I don't really want to talk to any of you guys. I'd rather hear myself talk, and especially when it comes to tequila. But other stuff, yes. But when it comes to tequila, I'd rather just hear myself talk. So here it is. Sorry we lost our guest. The blue cactus-like plant, the agave cactus... there isn't enough of it because people are drinking too much of that swill. Now, I know for a fact that there's plenty of agave at my house because we drank two big 10-gallon jars of that stuff this past weekend. And, man, it was good. We had that yucca, which is where you take a... You take about a fifth of tequila and you pour it into a big 10-gallon, not a 10-gallon jar, like a 1-gallon jar, and then you put in a cup of sugar, and then you put in the juice of 3 lemons and 3 limes, and you put in a bunch of ice, and you shake it up for about an hour, and you drink it down. It's like country time lemonade, man. And the great thing about it is you can use that Rotgut Jose Cuervo, which is about the lowest grade crap you could possibly drink. I love going into these joints, and I go, what kind of tequila you pour? 1800, like it's something special. Hey, man. If I wanted to drink 1800, I would have stayed home and drank that crap that nobody else would drink when they come to my house. 1800. It's crud. So now I go for that Don Julio, and now I understand Sammy Hagar's Cabo Wabo is making a move up the ranks. I understand that is quite the delicious tequila. I don't know. And then Jimmy Buffett has that Margaritaville, which I tried it once in a margarita. Actually, in other words, you take the really crap tequila and make margaritas. That's what you use for your margaritas. You don't use that good stuff. Don't use that Don Julio Blanco. Because one time I was in a bar, I forget where it was, one of the many bars that I visit. I know you guys think I'm a heavy drinker. I'm just joking around, okay? I'm just playing it like Dean Martin, all right? I probably drink, I don't know, once a week. Anyway, I was in this place, a nice place out in Agoura. All right, twice a week. And I said to the guy, you make those margaritas with Don Julio Blanco? He says, are you kidding me? He says, I'm not going to use the good stuff in my margaritas. No, I use the crud. So that's what you put into a margarita. But the really good stuff is sipping stuff. You don't slam it back. And in America, like everything else, we drink the worst crap the rest of the world has to offer. Like coffee. For the longest time, we drank the world's worst coffee. Everybody else had the really good high-grade beans, and we took two-thirds of the world's coffee, which is what we drink in this country, and it was two-thirds of the worst coffee. But we drank it because we didn't know any better. Now we got Starbucks. Now we think we know better. Notice I didn't say we do know better. We just think we do know better. Well, the same thing with tequila. For the longest time, we were drinking that swill, if we drank it at all, and we were pounding the shots back, and we were beating our chests. And in other words, we were being stupid, like Americans tend to be. Then we found out, well, tequila's a sipping drink, and you sip it like a brandy. You sip it like a sipping whiskey. You know, there's a reason why they call it sipping whiskey. They don't call it pounding freaking whiskey. You drink a little of that, a little Usangrina, which, by the way, I've been able to find a few bottles of that, and that's how you drink that. And I think as people have begun to appreciate how to drink good tequila, and as people have begun to appreciate what good tequila is, they've been selling more of it. Now, I wouldn't give you 5 cents for some of the stuff that's considered to be great, good, high-quality tequila. For instance, and I'm going to make some people angry, Don Patron, which some people will pay like $50, $60 a shot for. I wouldn't drink that with your lips. Same thing goes with that Porfirio stuff. Don Julio Blanco, love it. Sauza, love that stuff. I like that Sauza Gold, I like that Sauza Blanco, whatever they got. But it looks like now with this agave shortage, you guys won't be drinking too much tequila. I'll be fine. Because I have a storage, I got a bunker complex in my backyard. I got 15 years worth of tequila out there. Plus, I'm going to start growing those agave plants just as soon as I figure out how I do that. Can I get the little seeds in a packet over at the, like, Home Depot? Here's your agave seeds. What do you do with that? Well, I don't know. I bet you can make tequila out of that. Oh, well, I wouldn't know that. Where was I the other day? I was walking into the place and I had a bowl or something. It was a huge bowl that I was a potter. Potting plant or something. I was going to buy a potting plant for my wife because she's going to put some potting soil in it and grow some trees. And the guys at Home Depot, especially during the day, all talk to each other. It's like sitting and having breakfast at Denny's. Eventually, if you're the only guy sitting there with a sports page, another guy sits down and goes, "How those Dodgers doing, huh?" Well, if you walk into Home Depot and you got a big pot, the guy will go, "Look at that thing, man. Boy, you've been a lot of Cheerios in that, ha, 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 ha." I'm growing agave. What the hell? Agave? What's that? Make tequila out of that. Oh, ho, 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 ho. All right, well, good luck, you guys. 1-800-449-8686. Our phones are broken? Okay, I forget about calling. The phones are busted, and that's okay. For the next 45 minutes, I'm going to regale you with stories now of my father and his criminal record, and how our family made money on Easter when everybody else was in church and unwrapping those chocolate eggs. We were knocking over liquor stores. So that's coming up in just a moment on The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, and our phone system's out here on the Phil Hendry Show, and that's probably a blessing in disguise. This being a very non-traditional talk show, we don't ordinarily just take the open phone call anyway. How do I put this delicately so that you don't think I'm a completely insufferable, egotistical, arrogant, narcissistic individual, and am someone who actually does care about your feelings? Let me just say that I would much rather hear the sound of my own voice than the sound of your typical talk show caller. That's not you. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about all those other clowns, okay? And they're generally really dull. What we do on our show, and most good talk shows do this, we manipulate and we knead and we handle, and we shape, and we form the call so that it works for our show. So that it works for the greater entertainment of the audience in general. We don't just take all the phone calls and put them on the air, because that's death. That's suicide. You might as well just take a gun, put it right in your ear, and pull the trigger. And as it is, we don't have to worry about that this final 45 minutes of the show, because the phone system is dead. So That's cool. Gives us a chance to talk about other things, go other places with some of the stuff that we wanted to talk about. For instance, George Bush, I like language, and he was on the campaign trail, and the Inquirer has a sampling of Bush bloopers. These are things that George W., the governor, has said. And these are not unlike many of the things that you and I have said from time to time. We're not running for president. But listen to this. He said, and I quote, "I know how hard it is for you to put food on your family," end quote. This was during a campaign stop. He said George W. Bush, the governor of Texas, he said, quote, "The most important job is not to be governor or first lady in my case," end quote. He also said, quote, "I was raised in the west of Texas. It's pretty close to California in more ways than Washington, D.C. is close to California." He also said, "I understand small business growth. I was one." He also said, quote, "Laura and I really don't realize how bright our children is sometimes until we get an objective analysis." Then he also said, "When I was coming up, it was a dangerous world and you knew exactly who they were. It was us versus them and it was clear who them was. Today, we're not so sure who they are, but we know they're there." That's great. Who's on first? Tell me this cat didn't smoke just fat ones when he was... Wasn't there a thing that he dropped acid or something? Oh, no, it was coke. Remember we said that on the show a few weeks ago. Don't worry about whether they smoke pot. Ask them if they did L. The question we need to ask, here's what George W. Bush said, quote, "The question we need to ask, is our children learning?" And then he said, quote, "He can't have it both ways. He can't take the high horse and then claim the low road." And then George W. Bush said, quote, "Will the highways on the internet become more few?" He also was credited with saying, quote, "There needs to be debates like we're going through. There needs to be town hall meetings. There needs to be travel. This is a huge country." Oh, man, he didn't say that, did he? He also said, quote, "If you're sick and tired of the politics of cynicism and polls and principles, come and join this campaign." Quote, "I think we need not only to eliminate the toll booth to the middle class, I think we should knock down the toll booth." Huh? Other Bush verbal blunders include saying, "Tacular nuclear weapons instead of tactical nuclear weapons, preserve instead of persevere, and subliminable instead of subliminal." I remember when he said the subliminable thing. That was during the, like, the demon face. What was it? Oh, rats. That was all that rats thing. And he kept saying subliminable, and he kept saying subliminable. And I think the guy's going to get elected president because that's the way most of you cats talk, right? No, we don't need a president that sounds like he's some kind of a college graduate. We just need a president what sound like us. I wonder if he's had his prostate exam yet. When are they going to do those debates, man? I can't wait for that. Those are going to be good. Those are going to be some of the best presidential debates we've ever had. I'm serious. Between him and Gore, both these guys are very cozy. They're real cutie pies. They are, man, and they're both seasoned, whatever the hell they're seasoned at. And this is, yeah, bullcrap artists. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a good one. Because they're both tough, they're both smart, even though the guy is saying subliminable. Well, I used to screw up like that all the time. I used to have a problem with February. I used to say February. You know, February, it's February. I used to do that all the time, and I used to have, I didn't know the difference between prostate and prostrate. Like, you lay prostate on the ground, or you lay prostrate on the, you lay prostrate on the ground, and you're having your prostate operated on, not the other way around. I had problems with that. And other things that I can't remember right now, or it'd be very funny, but the point is, we all get tongue-tied, and that's just the way it is, okay? But I can't wait for those two guys to get into the debates, because it's going to be one holy hell of a beautiful thing. Smart, cagey, cutie pies, both of them, and they'll be just full of crap. Now, I mean, the crap won't end. It won't cease. Seasoned politicians like George W. Bush and Al Gore will put on a bullcrap festival, the likes of which we haven't seen, man, since the freaking rodeo left town. Oh, man, those two guys, both of them, when you look at them, It's a gorgeous thing, isn't it? The way they love to put on that kind of, well, I'll tell you, I think it's a sad day. When one of them screws up and the other guy's got to pretend like he's not really gleeful about it, well, you know. Like when that rats thing happened and they went to Gordon and said, how about that, man? They laid that rats thing out there, all that subliminal stuff. Well, I just, oh boy, I'm sick to my stomach. Man, he went inside and took his clothes off. He was jumping for joy. And about 2 weeks ago, I'm not going to say who, but a producer who works here walked over to our office and said, I'm going to let you guys know something right now. The lid is being pulled off of something in the Gore campaign. The Bush campaign is going to rip the lid off of this big thing. Remember that? And she said, do you guys want this? We're going to have an exclusive on it. This is going to destroy the whole, oh man, it's going to be horrible. I said, really, what is it? Well, here it is. Here's the story. It's going to go at 5 o'clock, the Bush campaign. This is going to be the death of Gore. Holy sweet mother of God, right? She went on and on and on and on and on. And finally, I said, well, okay, let's see it. And you know what it was? It was that campaign finance crap that nobody paid any attention to. And you'd swear. And the Bush campaign released this information like this was the bombshell. This is the bombshell that will destroy the Gore campaign. It was nothing. It didn't even make, it made the front page for about 2 seconds. It was completely and utterly ignored. You know why? Because people are well past that now, man. People today are now saying, that's politics. That's what you got to do. Sometimes you got to play those games. Just so long as the end result is that we're all living fat and happy, and the water tastes good, and the cotton's high, and your mama's good looking. What do we care? We're through, man, looking into every single solitary little tiny pocket of lint to find out whether this guy, you know, left skid marks on his underwear or what the story is. We don't care. Just so long as we can go home at night, love our wives, love our kids, park our fat butts down in front of MSNBC, because it's on tape delay on the regular network, and watch the Olympics. That's why you're never going to get a guy out of office because his, and this whole thing about Americans being embarrassed overseas because of Clinton and all that stuff. Boy, are we a country of rubes or what? I say this with, we are the biggest hicks on the planet. We really are. We are a bunch of hicks. For, I don't think most Americans ever get outside of their country because Americans, and probably rightfully so, believe America to be the center of the world. Why should we need to go anywhere else? Generally is the way the thinking goes. Why do we need to go anywhere? This is the center of the world. This is America. We don't have to go anywhere. Well, you don't really, but it is interesting to get outside of this country every now and again and to listen to what the people are saying. Man, they're laughing at us. Oh, gee, all those Americans. You know, it's like we're still a bunch of rubes. You got a load of these cats with that Clinton thing, and now they're all, oh, man. Boy, you Americans, you give me a royal pain. And part of it is jealousy, and they're all, you know, I understand. They wish they were over here. Boy, they're doing flips and twists to grab a green card to get over here. You know, the really slick ones. But the fact of the matter is, they look at us like we got a serious case of hick going because of all of this stuff. So I don't care what lies these guys tell me. It's got to the point right now, my wife is an arch-conservative. She's going to vote for Gore. No, she won't vote for Gore, but she really likes him a lot and thinks he'll make a great president. This is how far my wife Maria's come. I said, so what's it going to be, honey? Well, I like Gore. Yeah, I do too. He's a family guy. Yeah, he is, you know. And he's got I like what Tipper does, and I like the way she's devoted to her family, and I like what he says. We're going to vote for him? Oh, no, I can't. I'm a Republican. Well, what difference is it? Is that a whole thing about I vote for the man? Not my wife. She votes for the party. Who's running on Adolf Hitler? I don't know who he is. You going to vote for him? Oh, well, I have to. It's the Republican poll? Okay, there you go. And for that guy who called in earlier and thought it was Hi Hitler, no, sir, it's Heil Hitler. Guy came in and said, bet you that guy says Hi Hitler. If you would have said Hi Hitler, you'd be swinging from a freaking piano wire. You don't go up to Hitler and say Hi Hitler. You say Heil Hitler. Then he thought it was Hal Hitler. I said, no, that's the guy who lives next door to me. Hal Hitler and his wife Bunny. But Heil Hitler is what you say to the Fuhrer, man. Not Hi Hitler. Hal Hitler and his wife, Bunny. Premier, I'm just kidding. Okay, and what about their son, Skip Hitler? You notice how that name is not in common use anymore? It's just like it ever was, but there's got to be a Hitler family somewhere in America, don't you think? Get into the Yellow Pages. We'll call them cold on the air. Not. Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, right back after this. Phil Henry Show. The world syndicated Phil Henry Show. And we are without telephones this afternoon for the last hour of the show. We had a problem with it the first hour, but we were able to get off, you know, with the program. And then our phones went down at the top of this hour. We had Dave Oliva, who's going to talk with us about tequila and tequila drinking. Because what could be more fun than that? What could be more interesting than that? And we, you know, we lost him. Well, there's a lot of things more interesting than that, but, you know, I'm married now, man. So you know what? We're just going to have to talk about drinking instead. Not that I don't love my wife, but it's none of your business. All right, so, but he's gone because our phones don't work. So let's just move on. I already told you all my tequila stories. I wanted to say something about Anne Heche and Julie Cypher, something that I happen to know, something that I have intimate knowledge of, and I will in just a moment. But first, if you saw the San Francisco 49er Dallas Cowboy game on Sunday, you saw something that was kind of interesting. Terrell Owens, the wide receiver for the 49ers, scored a touchdown, and they were in the Dallas stadium. They were in the stadium in Irving, Texas. And as a San Francisco 49er, Terrell Owens took the ball and ran to the middle of the field and slammed the ball down on this big blue star in the middle of the field that the Dallas Cowboys obviously use as the symbol of their team. In other words, he was disrespecting the Cowboys in their house, as they say. And that really made the fans angry. It made the Cowboys angry. He was rubbing it in. So on the next score by the Cowboys, which was a run by Emmitt Smith, who's a Dallas Cowboy, immediately ran to the star in the middle of the field and planted the ball there as if to regain glory and respect for the Cowboy fans. They cheered. Emmitt Smith had done them right, and all was right with the world. Well, Terrell Owens wasn't done of the San Francisco 49ers. He scores another touchdown. He runs to the middle of the field to attempt yet another disrespectful display in front of the Dallas Cowboy fans. And as he's ready to drop the ball onto this big star, George Teague, who's a free safety with the Cowboys, comes over and gives this guy a forearm that was gorgeous. Just pow! Sent this guy sliding 5 yards. And a melee, it looked like a melee started to erupt. You know, I got DirecTV and I wasn't watching that game. But anyway, it looked like a fight started, the aftermath of which is that Terrell Owens is suspended for a game and fined a week's pay by Coach Steve Mariucci. Owens conducted two outlandish touchdown celebrations, and Mariucci said he spoke to the league office about his decision to suspend and fine Owens. The coach didn't know whether the league planned to issue its own fine. So he's been suspended. Also, they have a rule called excessive celebration. And that's why they have that rule. They have taunting and excessive celebration. And that's the reason why they have that rule in the NFL, so that kind of crap doesn't happen. Because as much as I dig what George Teague did, as if I were a Cowboy fan especially, I think that would be awesome, it is kind of like the World Wrestling Federation when you get right down to it. It starts to look like a freaking WCW, you know, whatever the hell they call it, SummerSlam 6! All of a sudden, you know, if enough of that stuff, SmackDown 2000, you know, if enough of that happens, you don't know whether it's real anymore. Am I right? You don't. You don't know whether it's real. Those periodic displays of emotion are cool because you realize, oh, these guys are human. And they really do feel for their team and they feel for their town. They feel for their stadium and all that. So it's kind of neat, but I'm glad the NFL's got that rule because I don't want to see that happen every time I turn on the TV set, these guys getting into it. And that's what you'll get this spring, XFL football, which, by the way, I have my season tickets. Now, you going to watch any XFL? We got a team in L.A., come on, L.A., why don't you get out and support the XFL? They're going to play at the Coliseum. They're called the Avengers, maybe. I don't know. They may change the name. You notice how football teams now, Bloodlusters, Avengers, Predators, the Disembowelers, the Hangmen, the Executioners. It's gone from the Lions and the Tigers and the Bears. And now it's just, you know, the Gutters, the Garroters. Or the Texans. Jimmy Kimmel was right on Fox. That's great. Great name. 80,000 people submit their selections to the NFL, and they come up with Texans. So Kimmel says it's like the guys in the mailroom just took all the envelopes and threw them in the garbage and said, screw it, let's just call them the Texans. Okay, Anne Heche and Julie Cypher, I wanted to make this comment, if I may, because this is something nobody's talking about, and I think we have to. When they say that sexual orientation is sexual orientation, you don't choose your sexual orientation. You know, it is something you have from birth. Well, that's bullcrap, because look at Anne Heche and Julie Cypher. And a lot of women, I don't say a whole lot of women, I'm not going to say, I won't put a number on it, but many straight women do this as some kind of a political statement toward men. They become lesbian for a day, or a week, or a month, or a year. They leave their husbands, they leave the oppressive, rank, foul, stench-filled world of men, and they fall into the arms of their lesbian lovers for a year, or two, or three. They get themselves knocked up, pardon the expression, they have a baby, whatever. They live with that lifestyle, and then after about two more years, well, this is kind of boring, I think I want Harry back, and boom, they go back. So, ain't that choosing a lifestyle? Yeah! Uh-huh! Now, I'm the furthest thing from a fundamentalist Christian you're ever going to find, but I think they got a point. It ain't an orientation when it comes to those guys. It's a lifestyle choice. I didn't make this world, man. I'm just reporting on it. So Anne Heche suddenly realizes, boy, you know, a little kielbasa wouldn't be bad. Ah, okay. This is getting a little Dullsville. And what was she, reportedly, and I'm not saying, but reportedly Vince Vaughn, Steve Martin, who else? I don't know. And the other one, Julie Cypher, is she going to go back to Lou Diamond Phillips? Poor old Lou. Last time we saw him, he was running his car, riding into a train there in Courage Under Fire. Boy, that was the funniest scene in any movie I've seen in years. Courage Under Fire, he drives his car into a train. An otherwise really good movie. And for the comic relief, Lou Diamond Phillips drives his car into a freaking locomotive. And it just and the greatest part is Denzel Washington standing there as it goes by again, only this time in the opposite direction, on fire. With Lou dead in it. Nice going, guys. Well, there's a double standard, I guess, when it comes to homosexuality. Women, lesbians, we accept anything and everything that's fine. Go ahead, do whatever you want to do. Lesbian sex is moderately attractive to straight men. And said straight men still do run this world, whether or not we want to believe it. It's true. If lesbian sex is acceptable, we'll allow that. And she can flit from one man to a woman and then back to a man and to a woman. And that whole lifestyle choice thing. But the fags, the guys, watch it. Now, you spend all this time and all this energy saying that it is not a lifestyle, that it is an orientation, that you were born with it, that you didn't choose it, and I can't go back, and, you know, whatever I do, I'm just going to have to, I'm always going to be gay, this, gay, that, and everything else. And then along come these women who, and the Globe said it very well, they are involved in the glamorous and chic lesbian lifestyle. And do you think guys can do this? Hey, you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to take a year off, and I think I'll move in with a guy. I don't know. You know, I want to try it out. Phil Hendry, talk show host, goes fag for a year. And I'm going to try it out, and, you know, maybe we'll have a baby together. David Crosby. What's the female equivalent of David Crosby? I know, Judy Collins. And anyway, too old to have a kid. All right. Don't say Mama Cass. And don't say Joan Baez. Oh, you mean you already did. So for 2 years, I'm going to live with a guy, and I'm going to just say, oh, man, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I noticed him across the room. Whatever the hell I'm going to say. And we're going to have sex, and we're going to live together, and we're going to have a house in Ojai, and we're going to have a pad down in Malibu, and it's just going to be the bomb, baby, for 2 years. And then I'm going to just all of a sudden one day say, well, I'm ready to leave and go back to my wife. There ain't a woman on earth that'd have me. Starting with my wife. And don't you know that for the rest of my life, it'd be Phil Hendry, fag. I can't do that. Anne Heche, she can do it. Because Anne Heche never stopped being a woman. She never stopped being a woman in our eyes. She was sexy and cute when she was with Steve Martin. She's double sexy and cute when she's with Ellen DeGeneres because we can't have her. And now she's even sexier because she's away from the clutches of that dyke. And she's back here into the straight world. And all the guys are clamoring for her. And I guess Vince Vaughn's already got her. Anyway, obviously, I mean, I don't know, but it's got to be some kind of a choice. It ain't an orientation. It's a lifestyle choice, because I've just seen two very prominent women choose it, and, like, then they lose it, and then they choose it, and they go back and forth and back and forth, man. Oh, man, it's like the Frontierland firing range. Here comes another dyke. It's a political statement. Women, unlike men, make that choice choose to move in with each other and have sex with each other as a political statement against the oppressive, rotten, overbearing manner of men. That's it in a nutshell. Some women are born with it. I understand that. Many women choose it to make this political statement against men, and then after about 4 or 5 years, they go back to their men. Now, I would, if you were a dyed-in-the-wool, from-birth lesbian, be careful of these chicks that were living with guys. Don't go near them. Find yourself a girl that's only been with girls, and you'll be safe and fine and great. Don't go with any, I don't care how famous she is, or how much she says she loves you, or how willing she is to have your, or David Crosby's child, don't go near her. You leave Anne Hayes to us guys. No, anyway, Terrell Owens, what a fag. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. That's the number that you could call were our phones working, but they're not. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800. Why am I keeping that number? I keep the numbers very automatic. I can't give you the number. Our phone doesn't work right now. What is this you're telling me? The 22-year-old guy? Excuse me. I have this cold, too, on top of everything else. 22-year-old guy was arrested Tuesday night and charged with throwing a beer bottle that landed near Atlanta Brave relief pitcher John Rocker. Okay, no big thing. You figure somebody's going to throw a bottle at John Rocker. Also arrested in the fracas was this guy, Maniachi, the guy Raymond Maniachi is the guy who threw the bottle. Well, also arrested in the fracas was Maniachi's friend, Brian Peterson, who you may recall pled guilty in 1998 to manslaughter along with his girlfriend in the death of their newborn son at a motel room in Delaware. See, I want to kill that guy now. I don't just want to put him in jail for throwing a bottle. I want to kill him. How do you get out of jail? What do they do? Was it one of those typical things where they stuff the kid down a toilet or something? One of a 2-year rap is what you guys are telling me. For killing a child? Peterson, also of Wyckoff, was charged with obstructing governmental administration and disorderly conduct. He was given a 2-year sentence, 6 months shorter than girlfriend Amy Grossberg's, after he agreed to testify against her. Peterson was released from prison after serving 1 year, and Grossberg was released 8 months early. And so he goes on out to the ball game, and he's throwing a bottle at John Rocker. Or at least he's with his friend who's throwing the bottle at John Rocker. Well, I got to tell you something, man. Kill a kid, yeah, but John Rocker, now that guy's a real piece of crap. I just found that interesting that the trash keeps turning up. Just when you think you got it tossed out, man, yeah. Hey, what is it? Oh, Jesus, still there's something in the pail outside, man. Will you go hose that thing off? Can't we just hose people like this right down the gutter of life? All of a sudden, John Rocker seems like a great guy, doesn't he? And I find out that the guy throwing the bottle at him is friends with this piece of work. What the hell? Rocker, all he did was open his big yap and say what a lot of people think, that the A-train uptown is filled with a lot of queers and creeps and degenerates and whatever else. That's one thing, man, but this guy stuffing a kid down a toilet or whatever he did. He agreed to testify against the girlfriend. She got 2 years. What did she get? She was released 8 months early, and he got 1 year of two. And they're out. They're walking around. They're having themselves a Dodger dog and having themselves a beer, man. See, me, I wouldn't be able to live with myself for the rest of my life. In other words, I would wake up screaming with sweats. I'd have black, dark nightmares. I would probably just want to do myself in, you know. Or I'd go and find a guru someplace and try to get my head, you know, meditate. I don't even do what Robert De Niro did in The Mission, you know, climb up a mountain with all of my armor hanging from my back. Do some kind of penance, you know, for what I did. I wouldn't be at a freaking ball game. There's a generation of sociopaths that are out there, and they've always been with us, but they just every generation produces new ones, you know? This sociopathic attitude, like that putz that was with that Strohmeyer guy. All these people, they don't, you know, this. Yes, I was there when the body turned up, uh-huh. And the body was in 16 pieces, sir. Did that bother you? Yeah, you bet. It sure did. Okay. And the fact that you found out that part of the body was in the chili con carne you were eating, did you have any reaction to that? Yeah, that really made me... That's when I got angry. Uh-huh. And the fact that this is a picture of your wife and me together in a hotel in Las Vegas, you'll notice I'm not wearing any clothes and neither is she. What do you think about that? That's really making me angry now. You're getting on my bad side. Mm-hmm. This is a sociopath. Nothing you say. They just sort of mimic life. I'm really mad. Well, then what did you see? I saw him take the kid and shove him into a wood chipper and then throw the whole thing into a lake. Did that disgust you? You bet. All right, anyway. Here's that Rush song you wanted, Mike.
This guy is beating his wife because he saw something in a movie. Has he beat her before? This is abusive.
Ma'am, my wife, I believe, is possessed by a devil.
Okay, you either need to get a better medical doctor.
In the movie, the priest beat up the little girl.
It's a movie. You've got a woman who may be very ill. You should get a better medical doctor. If you're in that much trouble, call 911 or something.
Oh, 911 if you have a demon-possessed wife. Yeah, that helps.
Well, the police, because you're beating her.
So I go to jail, and the devil is still running loose in my house.
You know, you're saying it's the devil. She maybe needs a better doctor with a better medical opinion, because this is not a very good likelihood, because you saw a movie. You think she's possessed by the devil, so you're going to beat her?
Let me ask you a question. She's throwing up green vomit. Her voice, you heard her voice. And,
I asked you a bunch of other stuff, whether the bed shook.
Let me ask the lady, should I call 911 or Ghostbusters? Because that's basically what you're giving me, the option.
I think you're being abusive. That's what I think. If she maybe is ill, you don't have a good answer.
Did you hear that? She's calling me names.
Okay, but you got upset because a man laughed at you?
The Roman...
That was a Roman Catholic priest. You went to the priest to get an exorcist, right?
Yes, sir.
And he laughed at you because he probably realizes that...
You don't laugh at a Korean War veteran. Never.
You've got
that.
A bigger problem than that right now. You've got a woman that you're abusing because you think she's possessed. She and you both need a lot of help.
What are you talking about? She's licking her lips and looking at the crucifix. You saw that movie, didn't you?
No, I won't go see the movie because I think it's a bunch of baloney.
Really? Well, you're scared, huh?
Yeah, I am. I don't like those kind of movies.
What do you mean that she's licking her lips?
In the movie, Linda Blair uses the crucifix to satisfy herself. And now my wife is... Oh, God.
You could either call some real help or call the producers maybe of that movie, but you need to find some real help here.
How about if I call the producers? What can I do?
I don't know, but you keep referencing...
Will they send someone over?
You keep referencing this silly movie instead of getting real help.
In the movie, the little girl's head turns around 360 degrees. Oh, my
it's
God.
It's a movie. Oh. It is a movie.
It's a movie, Lloyd. It's not real, man. It's somebody made it up. I mean, Peter Blatty wrote the book. William Friedkin did the movie. The little girl's head, there's nothing spinning around out there. Okay,
other than, like I said. You need to get some help medically and psychologically, and I feel very sorry for your wife.
You think I'm nuts?
You know what?
I think
you and your. I'm concerned about you, but I'm more concerned. I didn't say you were nuts.
Well, if he's beating the crap out of you, you better call the cops, okay?
Well, that's what I wish somebody would do, call the cops.
Come into me!
I think there's something going on at that house. Mike, get the police, okay? Because I've never heard anything like this, ma'am. Have you? Are you a nurse?
Me?
Yeah.
No, but I've been through a lot of, in the last 6 years.
Come into me!
Caregiver
bug
stuff.
Off. You hear that? The devil told me to bug off. Now I'm pissed.
Phil Hendry.